Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Astral Foods interim results presentation for the six months ended 31 March 2020. All participants are currently in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity to ask questions later during the conference. If you should need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero. Please also note that this call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to the Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Chris Schutte. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, and good morning, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris Schutte. I will do the business overview, as is indicated on your slide number two. Then we'll move over to Andy and Gary Arnold, the MDs of the Agriculture and Commercial Division and the Feed Division. Then on industry matters, we'll go back to Gary Arnold. Financial overview by the Group CFO, Daan Ferreira. Then I'll come in right at the end again on the outlook, and there's some additional information at the back of the pack that we will not necessarily report on, but that's what you can study on your own good time and ask us questions somewhere in the future about that. Thank you for taking interest in Astral. I'm also privileged to have Astral's Group Chairperson with us, Dr. Theuns Eloff. He's sitting in, and he is also available afterwards if there's any particular questions for the chair. Thank you. Moving over to slide number four, just some salient points of what happened over the past 6 months. Key drivers to our business: the feed input cost increased over the period, mainly because of higher maize prices and the smaller maize crop we had in 2019. Poultry production efficiencies were maintained in line on our farm performance forecast, and as most of you are aware, that is one of our areas of particular focus, is to extract the optimum out of this bird from a genetic point of view. Poultry selling prices increased over the period, leading to a partial recovery of the higher input cost. We again had some extraordinary costs during this period, like load shedding, which is unfortunately part of our lives in South Africa, a legislated national minimum wage increase, and then ongoing Standerton water supply contingency and the cost thereof to run that business on a day-to-day basis. COVID or Corona didn't really impact us in this half. So the lockdown came on the 26th of March, and our year end was on the 30th of March. So no real impact from the lockdown. However, we had some COVID-19 costs late in March, and that was to prepare for the lockdown and also some compliance factors with regard to health and safety requirements. Then positive, we had a good start to the 220 maize crop. That maize crop is not in play yet. It's still in the fields, hasn't been harvested yet. You will see some harvesting starting more or less now, but a very good start to that crop, and it looks like it's a crop exceeding 15 million tons, which is way up from the prior year at 11.3 million metric tons. Moving over to slide number five, revenue up 4.3% to 7.1 billion rand. Profit before interest and tax at 546 million, up 8.5%. The profit for the period at 371, and Don, our CFO, will explain why the difference between the earnings and the profits. Headline earnings per share at 9.51, and then, as you could have expected, the board decided on no interim dividend declared, and we will speak more about it, and I'm sure there will be one or two questions. Over to slide number six, just from a divisional overview. On the poultry side, feeding cost increased by about 5.1%. We again had birth performance improvement. The PEF there, again, for another year, is positively up. Broiler sales volumes were down, and that is not in direct sales, but Andy Crocker in his review will explain why a 2.5% decrease in sales as per our books. Broiler sales realizations up about 5.5%, and some of it just recovered our input costs. Some extraordinary cost impacts again, a number of them that add up to a figure that Don will reflect on, but the net between the two halves is that we are about 20 million better off on extraordinary costs this 6 months versus the prior 6 months. On the feed division, raw material costs up about 6.8% on the back of maize costs. Less internal feed required, again because of our production efficiencies and a further FCR or feed conversion ratio improvement. External sales volumes in the feed division flat or just up by 0.5%. Again, for another year or period in a row, the expenses were very well controlled and up only 4.6% in that division. We also again improved our rand per ton margin, and that has been a trend now, however, very small improvement, but it is still on the positive side. On other Africa, maybe not a big part of Astral's businesses, represented in three countries with very small businesses there, slight improvement with the profitability up to 16 million from 7 million. Moving over to slide number 7, and this is the quick view. It's a relatively new slide. I think it's the third time we've used it. It's just to show the movement between the two periods. On your left was the profit, PBIT, for the first half in F19 at 503 million. And on your right-hand side was the profit before interest and tax for F20. So an improvement of 43 million rand there. If you look at the red and green blocks, the first four depicting raw material cost, the production efficiency graph, feed conversion, broiler sales volumes, almost flat year on year, and then the broiler selling prices up 5.5, depicting the 241 million there. Those four together is the main drivers in Astral's business, and those are the ones that we focus on the day-to-day. On the right, the two red graphs, the 17 million on extraordinary cost and the other cost is the movement, and that is all other operations in the Astral Group and other operating cost of poultry. So that is just a quick view depicting the 6 months under review. Thank you. I'll now hand over to Andy Crocker, the MD of the Commercial Division, also giving a quick view on the Feed Division. Andy, over to you.
Good morning. On slide 9, starting revenue up 6.2% to 3.5 billion rand in the Feed Division. Raw material costs were up, specifically on the back of maize and soya prices. Average selling prices increased in line with this, up 6.8%. Sales volumes down marginally by 0.5% for the period under review. We look at operating profits, an increase of 1.7% to the 243 million. Slight decrease in net margin of the higher feed prices, also higher feed costs, 6.9% versus 7.2% in the previous period. Expenses, again, well controlled, and as reported by Chris, rand per ton margins were increased. We can go to slide 10. Give indication of raw material price increases. Sastex yellow maize prices increased year on year by 124 rand per ton, or 4.8%. Internal feed sales volumes decreased off the back of feed conversion efficiencies and improved performance by 1.2%. External feed sales volumes increased by 0.5%, predominantly from dairy sales, with some offset in the pig sector. Expenses well controlled at about 4.6% increase, and the average net margin increased by 2.2%. Moving to slide 11, not much to report here. The slight decrease in volume of 0.5% and a marginal movement between the dairy sales and other, which is an increase in dairy versus the decrease in pigs and the other component. On slide 12, looking at the raw material prices in more detail, because of the larger crop expected for this year, exceeding 15 million and above average, we expect to be exporting maize out of South Africa. If you look at the red circle, you'll see a dip down to February, where the market was tracking towards export parity, and therefore a significant decrease in maize prices, which is what we were expecting. However, following the Moody's downgrade of South Africa and to junk status, and the ensuing COVID crisis, we saw a weakening of the rand, which had a major impact on the export-related price, and therefore we saw an increase, which has settled to some degree along with the currency. This is also evident in slide 13, where we track the difference in rand between Chicago Board of Trade corn prices and the SAFEX yellow maize price. Again, you'll see a decrease into February, which was tracking towards export parity. We look at the previous dip below the blue line. That's when we were in export mode off the back of a record crop of 16.8 million tons. We were well on our way to that, but then offset obviously by the weakening of the rand, which could lead to, in rand terms, more expensive feed prices. Moving on to slide 14, have a look at the soya meal price, the second biggest constituent in our feed. There we see a dramatic increase in the price of soybean meal, which we use about 20% in our diets, and that is again predominantly on the back of a weakening rand, increasing to the tune of 1,000 rand per ton, and in that light offsetting the benefits of maize to this point. So bar an improvement in the rand relative to the dollar, feed prices in rand terms could be more expensive. Moving across then to slide 16 and the poultry division. Poultry division combined figures, total revenue up 3.1% to 5.6 billion. Boiler sales volumes were down 2.5% year on year. Boiler sales realizations up 5.5%. And then a contribution to revenue from our Ross breeder operations in the external market. Operating profit up 11.5% to 287 million. After accounting for broiler feed price increases of 6% and the net margin increasing marginally to 5.1% for the period. On slide 17, as is reported, profits increased by 11.5%. Broiler selling prices increased with less promotional activity required this year relative to the comparable period last year, with stocks well under control. Broiler slaughter numbers increased over the period by 2.3% to 5.2 million birds per week. Just coming to the earlier comments about broiler sales volumes, although they are down 2.5% in the reporting period, we brought on a new third-party distribution agreement where the point of recognition of the sale changed from the delivery into stock to a consignment stock model, and therefore the reported decrease in sales is purely accounted for by that change in accounting practice. So year-on-year sales were relatively flat. Overhead expense increases, as reported earlier. The minimum wage of the first half 3 months last year did not include the minimum wage increase, exacerbated by load shedding, which was more severe than last year on a national basis, and then ongoing water supply costs, as reported previously, to keep Standerton's road trade functioning. Slide 18. The decrease reflected of 2.5%, not much to speak about in terms of mix at this stage. A small increase between individually quick frozen and frozen whole birds being the only remarkable part. Going to slide 19, a graph that we spend some time on every year. The month-on-month, year-on-year changes in broiler feed prices as well as the change in broiler selling price. We look back to the previous year, the yellow part of the graph indicating a year-on-year increase in feed price consistently month-on-month for last year, and that continues into the current reporting period, although at a lower trajectory. Last year, our sales realization or selling price was negative year-on-year, which we saw some improvement towards on August-September last year, and that has continued into this period, which was reflected in the graph of improved realizations.
Thank you, Andy. So now I'll move over to Gary Arnold, the MD of the Agricultural Division, which became quite a focused division for us over the past couple of years, as said earlier, to extract the optimum from our genetic potential and the Ross bird. Over to Gary for slide 21.
Thank you, Chris. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. In the agriculture division for the period under review, the sales of parent stock out of Ross poultry breeders increased by 5.3%. We saw this as demand for the Ross 308 genetics increased in the external market, and we were able to secure additional market share for the bird. Our parent stock breeder productions were good, with the number of chicks per hen housed increasing from 145 chicks per hen to 149 for the period. Demand for hatching eggs out of companies such as National Chicks within the Astral Stable decreased. The export markets in Africa largely fell away in this past 6 months. However, we have recently seen a slight uptick in the demand for hatching broiler eggs in some markets. As already mentioned, feed input costs increased for the period. This was, however, slightly offset by improved on-farm production performances, where we managed to, again, improve the feed conversion rate. We used 23 grams less feed per kilogram of live weight gain for this period under review. Unfortunately, highly pathogenic avian influenza, or H5N8, the strain we experienced in South Africa in 2017, is still circulating amongst ostriches and wild birds. And a point of concern for us is that we've seen a far higher number of reported outbreaks in the EU this past winter. Moving to slide 22, where we graphically depict some of the broiler performances. The age came down slightly from 33.4 days to 33.3. That represents about 2.5 hours. And with that, the weight came down slightly, only 6 grams in live weight. The average daily gain remained flat for the 6 months versus the prior year at just over 55 grams per bird per day. Slide 23, you'll see some continued improvement in the performance of the birds overall, with the PEF moving up, as Chris reported earlier on, and the feed conversion improving further. So we're still extracting good results out of the birds, and we met with the geneticists in February, and there's still further improvement that we can expect in the bird over the next few years. However, unfortunately for the period, slightly higher mortality rate driven by a couple of factors which are well under control, and although it reflects an increase, it's definitely not the highest that we've seen in our history. I will now go over to the other Africa operations, reporting on their results. Revenue increased by 7% to 239 million rand for the 6 months, and we saw an improvement in profitability out of the three countries from 7 million rand to 16 million rand. You might recall in the first half of 2019, we did make some provisions for various taxes that we needed to be recovered from the Mozambican government, impacting the first half of the prior year. On industry matters, slide 27, the usual imports, total poultry imports graph. For the 6 months, the imports averaged 42,907 tons, and March, the last SARS figures available to us recorded imports at 41,129 tons. The industry in whole, slaughtering at the moment around 19.6 million birds a week, of 19.4 million birds per week in a comparable period. Our industry has remained stable. We haven't seen any divestment or consolidation, rather some investment in production capacity over the 6 months. imports the average for the six months, representing approximately 7.7 million birds a week. So the total number of birds, together with our local production, around the 27.3 million birds per week mark consumed locally. You're aware that on the 13th of March, an increase in the import tariff for frozen bone-in and boneless cuts was announced. That saw an increase in the general tariff or duty of 37% for frozen bone-in portions, moving to 62%, and boneless cuts 12 to 42%. That largely impacts Brazil and the US. The EU has a safeguard duty at the moment of 30% against those particular product categories. An oversight committee was established during the 6 months with representation from governments, the South African poultry industry and other stakeholders, and this should lend support to the implementation of the poultry sector master plan, which we spoke about in November last year. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. We'll now move over to Dan Ferreira, our Chief Financial Officer, for the overview of the financials over the past 6 months. Dan, over to you.
Thank you, Chris, and good morning. Slide 30 is a summary of the income statement as published. So I'm only going to point one or two numbers out, which I think it's important. The revenue at 706.9 million increased on the prior year, 6775. The main reason for the increase is a higher contribution from the poultry division. The poultry division contributed about 79% to the group's external revenue, whereas feed external revenue is only 18%. Remember that about 60% of feed's revenue is all intergroup. The operating profit at 546 is an increase on the 503 of the prior year, and again the increase mainly contributed by the poultry division with 30 million rand. Operating profit at 7.7%, this is also marginally up on the prior year. Now the net finance cost 27 million compared to the 18 million rand income of the prior year. We did not increase our debt or borrowings. This is a change in accounting for leases. Previously, operating leases, the payments thereof was recognized as expense. Now you have to capitalize all those leases, so you calculate the present value of all the future payments. You recognize a right of use asset, and in the case of Astral, as at the end of March, there's 645 million rands worth of right of use asset recognized on the balance sheet and a corresponding lease liability. In the income statement, so the 122 million lease payment that we've paid during the period is now excluded from operating profit and it's replaced by a depreciation or amortization of the right-of-use assets of 106 million. So the net benefit on the operating or PBIT line is 16 million for this period. But then on the finance cost line is a calculated finance charge of 35 million, which is part of the 122 million lease payment, with the balance being payment against the outstanding principal of the operating lease. So the net impact on the profit for tax as a result of the change in the accounting policy is 19 million negative for this period. And the reason for the mismatch is because of the present value or fair value of the future payments. Over a period of time, it will correct itself. Profit before tax is slightly down than on the prior year. Tax is provided at 28% of the taxable income, and profit for the period at 371, same as last year. Headline earnings, that is after minorities and some smaller adjustment, at 369 million, also about the same as last year's 368 million. The next slide, slide 31, is an overview of the revenue and profitability of the group from 2014, just to give a sort of a bird's eye view. The blue graphs are the revenue, and the yellow graphs the operating profit, and the line graph the profit margins. Slide 32, also an overview of the revenue of the feed division, and that is the total revenue, internal as well as external revenue. The red line being the change in selling prices or feed prices, and the dotted line change in volumes. Slide 33, similar slide, but now for the poultry division. Revenue broken down in the 6 months periods, with the green line graph indicating the changes in the selling price, and the dotted line graph the change in the volumes. Slide 34, the overview of the group six monthly operating profits. The blue graphs is the poultry, and the yellow graphs is for feed. And as can be seen from the graph, that the historical profits for feed is fairly consistent, whereas for poultry there's much more volatility. And the reason for that is illustrated in the two line graphs. It's the drivers of the poultry's profitability. The green line is the change in the selling prices of the poultry products, and the red line is the changes in the feed cost, being the major input cost in the poultry division. So, for example, in 2H16, second half of 2016, the increase in feed cost, the red line, increased at a higher rate than the green line graph, which in fact is a decline in the selling prices. And for that period, the poultry division reported a loss of 135 million. In 2H17, second half of 2017, the opposite happened. Prices increased at the green line graph, and then feed costs came down, and there was a profit reported of 616 for that period. So if one look more towards the more recent profits that we've reported, we saw that the changes in selling prices, green line, changes in the feed prices, the red line, is more in sync with each other, so less volatility. The lower profit in the second half 2019 is mainly as a result of additional costs that we had to incur with the water crisis that we had in Standerton last year. Over to slide number 35, the balance sheet. The movement in the non-current assets, that is capital expenditure, incurred mainly on the expansion project at the festive processing plant. The right-of-use assets, 645 million, that's what I've explained earlier on. The net working capital will discuss in the following slide. Non-current liabilities, 744 million, mainly represent deferred tax, and the increase from 705 as of the end of September last year to the 744 is because we will now for this year claim tax allowances from the completion of the expansion project at Festus. The lease liabilities, is the contra entry for the right of use asset at 664 million. Surplus cash at the end of the reporting period, 417 million, which is down on what we reported at the end of September, and in the cash flow statement, I will highlight the reasons for that. And for the equity, obviously, higher as a result of the profits reported for the period. Slide 36 is a summary of the capital expenditure and the depreciation. Just to highlight the increase in the depreciation from 88 per 6 months to the 197 million. And the reason for that is the right of use assets depreciation, which is now part of operating profit. And any EBITDA calculations must be seen against that change if one compare it to prior periods. The total capital expenditure at 311 million as per the cash flow statement compares well with the previous two periods of 6 months. And again, the major contributor to that figures with the expansion at Festive in Willefontein. Outstanding commitments at 342 million, it's down. The reason being the expansion project at Festive is nearing completion. The amount of 245 million is in respect of a second phase of that project, but that will not be incurred during the next 12 months. Slide 37 is the working capital. The net working capital right at the bottom, it's 1113, which is down 175 million compared to the end of September. The major movements are the increase in inventory for poultry, 512 versus the 337, and the reason being for that is what Andy explained earlier on, is the recognition of stock shipped out to the distributor now being recognized still as stock because it's regarded as consignment stock. The feed division stock is also higher because of higher raw material levels for maize and soya, as well planned increase in critical stock items to secure supply, which could be disrupted as a result of the lockdown situation that we have in the country. Advanced capital expenditure payments. Last year, end of last year, there was 256 million, none for this reporting period. Trade payables, 1491 is also higher, and that is mainly as a result of the higher inventory levels as at the end of March. The next slide, slide number 38, is a summary of the statement of cash flow. The format is somewhat different than from what is published. It's just to compare figures more like with like. The cash operating profit at 715, that is as reported. But then I moved the share-based payments and lease payments up. Share-based payments of 24 million in the published statement of cash flow is disclosed as a financing activity, but because this is the underlying nature of this cost is remuneration, for purpose of this presentation, it is regarded as an operating cost and outflow. Similar with the lease payments, in the 715, there's no lease payments because these depreciation of 106 already being added back, and whereas in the 407 of the previous year, there's still obviously these payments included in that number. So I moved the 122 million up from financing activities as published to get a number of 569 million, which compares them to the 407 million. Working capital net outflow of 106. The tax paid at 71 million is down on the prior year because of the utilization of tax allowances on the expansion capital expenditure. Capital expenditure outflow of 311 million, and then the dividends paid, which the final dividend declared at the end of last year, and that was paid during January. So the net cash outflow for this period was 82 million, and the closing balance surplus cash was 417 million. Slide 39 is then a summary of what has already been said. The group operating profit up by 8.5%. The finance charges is up, but that is as a result of the change in the accounting for leases. The earnings for the period on the same level as the prior year. However, the net impact of the change in the lease accounting after tax was a reduction of 14 million in the profit. Net cash outflow, as mentioned, outflow of 82 million for the year, which includes the dividend payment of 165 million and the capital expenditure of 311 million. Surplus cash, 417 million as the end of March. And then, again, the no interim dividend being declared, and the main reason for that was the uncertainty around the seemingly indefinite lockdown period that we're experiencing at the moment.
Thank you, Don. Over to myself, Chris Kutter, on the outlook. I think you're familiar by now. We don't just make one paragraph or one statement. We like to give you a menu of positives and negatives. If you look at slide 41, some negative influences to be expected over the next period of time, 6 months and maybe a bit longer. Of course, exacerbated by this lockdown that we find ourselves in. The first bullet there, the unprecedented unemployment rate that is expected following this hard lockdown and the resultant financial impact on the business and the economy at large. I think that is everybody's biggest concern, and I don't think we exactly comprehend what is waiting for us as a South African economy and the impact of this hard lockdown and seemingly indefinite lockdown. Second bullet, consumer disposable income will of course be severely constrained with a very slow recovery, we believe, out of the lockdown as is expected and communicated by most of the economists. I don't think there's anything new in there. It is quite a dire situation out there. The exchange rate, because of the state of emergency and the Moody's downgrade, of course, will have a negative impact on our input costs, such as maize into feed and soy oil cake and soy meal into our feed, the two biggest drivers into a feed ration, and feed making up 63 to 65% of our total input costs. So if the rand is not going to strengthen, we're not going to see the full benefit of this bumper crop currently in the early start of the harvesting season, the 15.2 million tons, and we believe that can still get bigger. That will not come to its full fruition if the exchange rate is going to stay 4 rand higher to the dollar than where we were at the beginning of this planting season. the higher cost due to COVID-19 and constraints on global supply chains and price increases of essential inputs, I think that nobody is going to escape that. Nobody is going to escape the lockdown in its totality, and we being part of this economy will obviously not be able to stand outside in a vacuum. The QSR sector shutdown was quite severe. The QSR quick service restaurants, most of you are familiar with who those are. Those make up about 20% of the consumption of all locally produced chicken. So that's quite a large chunk of customers that are not buying, and that had a detrimental impact down the line of the poultry industry. That was also believed by many the sector with the better margins or profit margins, and that is obviously now in total and full lockdown with only home deliveries currently on the way, and that is a small percentage of the QSR market. That, of course, had a negative impact on product mix, so everybody who supplied into the QSR market, and it was stopped abruptly overnight. They obviously had to do something else with their chicken, first trying to sell it as fresh. The fresh market got flooded, and also the fresh market contracted over the same period, and a big chunk of poultry produced in South Africa now had to move over to the IQF market, and there's an oversupply. So the whole product mix in South Africa in a general, not just Astral, has been quite severely impacted, moving to lower margin products, and that was not seen in the first half. This will more be seen in the second half, and we will most probably report on that at year end. Astral's capacity and expansion, the festive project, as alluded to by Don, has been put on hold. We could not finish it in time before the lockdown, and it was also not a race to try and finish it. We were just caught up in the middle of that hard lockdown, and we were at about 95% completion of the of that expansion, which would have given Astral quite a difference in its flexibility and its ability to pack and cross-pack product into higher margin markets. That was unfortunately placed on hold at about 95-96% completion. When the lockdown, or if the lockdown, are lifted and we can bring in our international engineers to finish the project, that obviously will come online in the right time, and we'll be able to utilize the benefits as explained at the beginning of that capital project. Moving over to slide 42, some positives, believe it or not. One of them, all of Astral's operations are running like clockwork. And the clockwork is not a fancy reference. We talk about Astral being a fully integrated business, and we also have input suppliers and service providers, and that depicts really a clockwork of note. And to date, fortunately, and with great respect to all of Astral's workers and staff at all levels, that's been working really like clockwork. There's been some disruptions which we had to quickly adapt to, like the stringent social distancing, screening of employees, welfare measures, and the PPE or personal protection equipment that were implemented. Our teams quickly adapted to that, and to date we have had many visits and audits by governmental institutions and departments, and with a green light that Astral is doing, under the circumstances, are doing a good job there, not trying to quote Donald Trump, of course, but it's great. And there's nobody that knows more about this than me. So on that front, everything going well. Astral is also being used as an example in other businesses, and we had a lot of people auditing us and using our safety measure systems, protocols, and standard operating procedures as the standard for other industries. The second point, of course, a big positive, and that is the above-average maize crop 2020. We spoke about that. We're expecting 15 million tons and bigger crop coming off, and eventually that will be seen in our feed price, despite the fact that we're moving away from export parity. Eventually that bigger crop, almost 4 million tons crop, bigger than the prior year, will come into play into our biggest input cost. The third bullet there, the higher import tariffs, it's something that myself personally and a lot of people in the industry have been working on for almost 6 years. I think a lot of people didn't believe us anymore that something could come from it. Well, that higher import duty on import from Brazil and America is now in place, moving from 37 to 62%. And I think a lot of you will have questions around this. Have we seen the impact yet? The quick answer is no, we haven't seen the impact yet. By the time this was introduced, there were already orders placed and product that were on vessels and on the water, on the seas. And we believe we will only see the impact of this during the month of May. We have not yet seen the April import figures, but even that could be down, and we will report on that as we go along. I think those of you who understand Astral will know how important farming is to us. One can easily neglect this and just focus on product and product development and sales prices. Our strategy is the opposite of that, and we believe we first have to farm right with a lot of focus on farming and our genetic material, trying to extract the optimum out of that broiler and the breed that we currently farm with, the Ross breeders. That is also in support of our simple strategy of producing the cheapest kilogram of meat. That is Astral's presentation, the formal presentation. We thank you. That was just on 49 to 50 minutes, if I check on my clockwork here. We are obviously now moving back to the originator and ready, if there are any questions, we will try and answer them the best we can. And if we cannot, we will certainly come back to you in due course with a proper answer. I will also not do all the answering. I've got a team of experts with me, my MDs, financial staff with me around the table, and we will divert a question as it comes on. Thank you very much for taking interest in Astral Foods.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you do wish to ask a question, please press star and then one on your touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw your question, please press star and then two to remove yourself from the queue. Again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and then one now. So we have no questions from the conference call. We move to the questions from the webcast.
First question is from Sean from Notice Capital. What led to an increase in mortality rate?
I'll pass that question over to Gary.
Sean, in answer to your question, a couple of issues. We hatched chicks from younger aged parent stock flocks during the six-month period compared to the prior year. The livability of chicks from younger flocks tends to be slightly poorer, so that impacted early mortalities by about 0.3% of the half a percent. And then we also, with the damper, warmer conditions we experienced during summer, we picked up some aspergillosis. Now, that originates from a fungus, and that fungus developed in some of the bedding material. So we have treated the bedding material, or we continue to treat it. That was both in the nest box material and the bedding that is placed in the boiler sheds. So we've sorted that out. The modern broiler, any slight negative influence in the environment has a particularly large impact on the modern broiler because of the genetics and the potential for it to grow. So any small influence can negatively impact it quite significantly, particularly at altitude. And what this aspergillosis or fungus did, it places some pressure on the lungs. And, of course, at altitude with lower oxygen levels, impacts the birds more severely than at the coast. Thank you.
Nashi Ho from Lorien Capital would like to know, have you observed improved local pricing and less aggregate imports since the tariff on the U.S. and South America kicked in? Or have European imports just filled that gap?
The answer to that is we have not seen any change in the imports. The latest figures we have was on the March. The March import figure, which was a 41,000 tons, which was in line with the previous 12 months almost. So we have not seen a turn down on the back of the higher import tariff. We trust that we will see something maybe late in April and May, but the prices or South African local selling prices were not positively impacted by that higher tariff yet.
Nick Krieger from Signal. Industry reports indicate that chicken prices are down 10% since the lockdown started. This has been blamed on overstocking due to the closure of the fast food sector. Does Astral agree with this industry assessment? And is the channel overstocked, and how will Astral respond to this? And will Astral consider a cut in production?
Nick, thanks for that. Of course, we can only speak for ourselves. Yes, prices are under pressure since the lockdown. As I explained, the 20% of local production just been slashed overnight by the lockdown in the QSR market, so that poultry had to find its way into fresh. Fresh are currently down by 20 to 25% because of the buying patterns. And IQF, or frozen product, currently is the product where everybody is looking for a safe haven. And that obviously turns into a overstock in IQF, and that is where you will see a decrease in selling prices or pressure on selling prices. And yes, we do experience that. The exact percentage of 10%, I cannot comment on this point in time as it changed from week to week and promotional activity at various of the chain stores, but there will be pressure on price from this point forward, purely because of the inability to sell via the QSR market, and that doesn't seem like there's going to be a quick or sudden change there. Even if they allow drive-through and takeaways, that still only is about 35 to 40% of the total QSR market. So I think this will be with us for a while. With regard to cutbacks, that is always an expensive exercise, but we have to weigh up all the options of carrying finished goods stocks, cutting back, or deep cycle discounting. We've got a model that we test from week to week, and we'll make those decisions as we go along. We are not planning a big-time, long-term cutback at this point in time. But of course, this ludicrous lockdown will most probably depict how we're going to manage that in the near future. Currently, it is not on the cards, and if it does come into play, we will most probably communicate that to the market.
Miran from NIFSA would like to know, first saying thank you for the opportunity to ask questions. Firstly, a comment. I'm very encouraged to hear the comment operations on running that clockwork. This is what we shareholders have come to expect, as well as respect Astral School. My first question is Corona. What sort of measures are in place to limit the spread of COVID? And what sort of PPE, namely personal protective equipment, has been provided to employees in the production facilities?
Thank you. We'll pass on that question to Andy Crocker, who works in the environment where the most people in the Astral Group are active on a daily basis, which is the commercial division in our processing plants and abattoirs. Andy?
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Miran. We need to go back to the start of the chain of people coming back into the essential services. First of all, we issued to all of our staff masks and PPE for the trip to work. We also gave hand sanitizers to all our staff to use from home to work. And then we also have a winter program whereby we supply vitamins and minerals to our staff every year, and that coincided with this. So from a health wellness point of view, we started there. We then took control of the transport to our operations, either directly or indirectly, and made sure they were compliant with social distancing. And the masks issued and the PPE issued was for safety on that side of the fence. At the entrance to the facility, it then becomes critical for screening and temperature testing to identify people who may have been in contact with other COVID patients or may be showing some symptoms, and to control those people entering the factory. That was done successfully to date, and it's been commended by a number of departments. Following your question into the factory, remembering this is a food environment, so it is clean and safe generally. The escalations required to meet on the cleanliness and hygiene side, not much. Social distancing, obviously very important. So we had to make sure that we had the required 1.5 meter space between our personnel. That was possible, with the exception of some of the high-density fresh lines, where we had to take some people out to create the space. And we issued further PPE in consolidation or conjunction with the Department of Labor, which allowed us to operate in that facility. And then when it comes to communal areas, such as the dining room areas and change room facilities, we've executed physical spacing to maintain the distance amongst our staff there.
Question two. In the unfortunate event, there is a corona infection on one of the premises. In your estimates and simulations, how long will it take to de-clean the environment and return to normal? How much can this cost?
Thanks for the second part of the question. So, again, remembering it's a food environment, and we de-clean that environment daily on a number of occasions. The only requirement in addition for that, should there be a positive in one of our operations, we've added on an additional acid clean to our general wash. So every 24 hours, regardless of what is happening in the factories, we are deep cleaning the factories. We've identified, lining up with the WHO requirements, that in the event of positive, we will clean the factory again, and that is a 48-hour maximum period to allow staff back in. We have, in fact, had 20 positives at our Western Cape facility, all of them coming from community transmissions. They have been proactively screened at our entrance, and in conjunction with the Department of Health and Labor, we've managed that situation, and we are not being forced to do any further additional cleaning because our responses are already in place. So currently, that's not what we foresee, and we also don't see much additional cost with the media acid wash being added to the program.
Danika from Aon Investment Management would like to know, good morning. Besides increasing selling prices and import tariffs, were there any other significant contributing factors to the increase in revenue and operating profits?
The increase in revenue were mainly driven by the feed division's higher feed prices, and then, of course, on the poultry side, higher selling prices. Volumes were flat over this period in time. The positives, as depicted in the presentation, on top of the higher selling prices, of course, the further improvement in our farming activities and efficiencies there, and our ability to contain costs at the feed division. So those were more of the significant contributors to the profitability.
Charles Boyles from Titanium. Good day. Please, could you provide some background to the reason for a third-party distribution agreement that has been established?
Over to Andy Crocker.
Good day. Thanks again. We used to have a close relationship with a certain distributor who we worked with for many years. Last year, they chose to exit the market. We looked at a number of different options and best way to replace that. And had done some work prior to that on our opportunities going forward. So, and with them withdrawing from the market, we had to make a decision to continue to our major retail customers, and we made a decision on a new party. It already was in operation in that environment. And all that changed then was the way that we account for transactions, whereas with the previous supplier, each delivery to a central point was considered a sale. That's now considered into consignment stock, and hence the effects on various effects on the financials.
Shane Watkins from All Within. Do you think the $30 billion additional government grants will find its way to you?
To me personally, no, I don't think so. I've never had that luck. But into the poultry market, I think it is very real. We haven't seen the impact of that yet, but I think any grant or money flowing to the informal sector will somehow find its way back to the retail. It is important to us in the rural areas that these grants are paid out, find its way via the retail, and the early indications are that there are some successes into the retail. I've been in a conversation with two heads of two massive retail chains, and they are quite optimistic that some of these grants will flow through the retail, and most probably on the back of that, we will see some benefit. To what extent? I would like to report on that a month or two from now.
Andrew Moses from MIFA, thank you for the presentation and well done on the results. Andrew, I think Astral has answered your first part of the question regarding the facilities and closure if there's a virus detection. The second part is, with your expectation of COVID, with the high unemployment, do you foresee lower demand volume?
Yes, I think, as said, I don't think any industry will escape this lockdown. A big part of our customer base is at the bottom end of the market, those informal sectors, and the people that have to work every day to buy food every day. I think those people will unfortunately be very hard hit in this lockdown, and there is no way that Astral can escape that. We will eventually see the impact of that, either through a build-up in stock or deeper cut promotions to move stock. But unemployment and lower disposable income levels, I think, is on the cards, and is most probably going to be there for quite an extended period and not just for a month or two under this lockdown and the various levels as we depict from what is said in the media.
Neil Ahmed from Prescient wants to know, what is your current hedge position on maize and soya? Second question is, has global lockdowns resulted in a significant decline in imports landing on our shores?
I'll quickly refer to the second part. We have not seen a decline in imports. We don't have the latest April figures at hand yet. We'll most probably have that in a week's time. It's not been calculated by SARS yet. But up to the end of March, we have seen no significant movement in the imports, both on the back of the exchange rate taking a bit of a dive and the higher import level. So to date, as we sit here, no impact yet, but I think we will report on that if we see a significant change. What was the first half?
Hedge position.
Oh, the hedge position. Yeah. So we don't use financial instruments. We buy maize to make feed. So the only things we do is we're a bit longer or a bit shorter from time to time. We can never be shorter than about 2.5 months because we've got a pipeline to fill. And we don't like to be longer than 9 to 12 months because then you're buying into a season that hasn't been planted yet. Currently, we are just buying live from hand to hand, and we would like to see this rand strengthening before we aggressively start to buy again. Currently, South African maize is just a bit too expensive to go long. We would like to remain somewhere in the middle, and we will keep a hawk's eye on this, eagle eye, bald eagle.
Pension and Problem Fund. What is Astral's view of what is done in the U.S. if their farms are destroying excess food due to limited demand?
We read some articles on that. I think America is very different from South Africa. They are also seeing some shortages in meat supply in America. I don't think it is a problem in South Africa. We've got a very well-developed system in South Africa with regard to food production. I don't think you're going to see either a shortage of food or a situation where we're going to have to dump food in the sea or bury it somewhere. I think we're well balanced, and unfortunately, there's just a lot of people without money or income currently to buy quality food and to have a decent meal. But we don't foresee in the short term, over the next 2 to 3 months, that we will have to throw away or dump food somewhere. I think it is well controlled in South Africa.
Obviously, here I would like to know, how does chicken meat compare to eggs price-wise in terms of protein content, protein price per gram, and is there a trend to more egg consumption versus chicken meat in these COVID-19 times?
On a value basis, that obviously changes almost from a day to day, depending on your feed input cost and your selling price and deep promotions. So it is not a figure that is stagnant, but they both rate very well in the protein value chain. I would regard them as number in the top three in a value proposition. Currently, eggs are in short supply in this country, and they are trying, obviously, to try and get a small price increase into the market just to cover their higher input costs. It is a bit different, and I think the reason for that with the lockdown is that people bought more eggs, and it is still the case because a lot more home cooking and home food preparation at home is taking place than before the lockdown. Talking to the egg guys, they live from hand to mouth with regard to supply the market. On the poultry side, it's a bit different. Of course, there's a bit of a glut of red meat on the market currently. We still have the higher level of imports up to the end of March, and then the QSR market leaving the scene currently. So eggs and poultry not in the same position, slightly shortage of eggs, and as explained earlier, a bit of an oversupply in chicken. So I think chicken might be the better value option if there's going to be some promotional activity. Our input costs are more or less the same because we both use maize as a major ingredient in our diets. So we won't escape the impact that both the Moody's downgrade has had and also the weakening of the currency. So from an input point of view, on the same level with eggs, more or less, but on the selling in the selling arena, I think the poultry guys will have a slightly tougher road ahead than the egg guys.
Kruka from Signal Asset Management and Craig Rogerson from Investec has very similar questions. What do you estimate that cost to import a kilogram of chicken following the new import duties at the rand
Over to Gary Arnold.
Not an easy question to answer, unfortunately. We have had some news that the price offers out of Brazil have reduced. So we don't have those latest costs, but certainly something that we can come back to you on. You know, the impact of the increase in the tariff will be further compounded by the movement in the exchange rate. And as you know, that hit a high at one point of above 19 Rand to the dollar and has now pulled back in the region of 1840 to 1850. So very difficult for me to give you an answer or an exact answer on the increase in the landed cost, unfortunately.
Mr. Lelid, from Excelsior Capital, what would be your advice to the South African government, National Command Council, with regards to easing lockdown and economy? Can you please give us a sense of volumes, revenues, and profits?
Thank you. The first part, second part first again. Unfortunately, I cannot comment on financials beyond this financial period that we're reporting on. We will see. I think it's very important to understand that the first 6 months will be very different from the second 6 months, or the two halves will be very difficult or different. The first half was excluding any lockdown cost or impacts. The second half started 4 days after the lockdown, will look very different from the impact of currencies on all our input costs, a lower demand, lower disposable income, and the QSR market not opening up with the oversupply in the IQF market. So we will see a year of two distinct, very different halves. Advice to the government is have some more business people in your chambers when you discuss the economy. We've got both a health threat here, but bigger than that, economic and a welfare risk. It's becoming evident that the welfare risk could become a bigger challenge to the country than the health risk. It is very important to get people back to work without doing stupid things. I think it's all about discipline by the individuals. Sometimes when you look at video material, it seems like the one part of the country is under lockdown, and some parts of the country don't even know about the lockdown. To me, it is still a bit silly, and I'm not a politician, but I can become one. But to lock down somebody in the Northern Cape on a farm that are perfectly healthy because somebody in the Cape Flats has got a virus simply doesn't make economic sense. I think that the government had to do a lot in a short time. But they've now had 7-8 weeks to think about their actions, and I think they can do much better than what we sit currently with. I think the uncertainty in the business area is bad news for South Africa. We were already with one foot in the grave before the lockdown. We now solidly halfway in a coffin, and we need to look at that, and that is the cry out for most business people. Small businesses, informal businesses, street corner business people say, let us get back to work. We will try and discipline ourselves. And we can, while we sell potatoes or veggies on a street corner or drive a taxi, I will smoke, but I won't drink.
From Business Day with my say, any update on the sanitation waste if water issue? Still costing $2 million a month, or have you been able to bring this down? Thank you, Nancy.
Over to Andy Crocker.
Thanks for the question. We still continue with the road train supply in Standerton. We have a reverse osmosis plant that is in the build phase. But to date, we're still transferring water. In cooperation with the municipality, we've used slightly less water via the road train, which has allowed us to reduce costs. Our previous indication was roughly the 2 million we spoke about, and the period in the first 6 months, we averaged 1.6 million a month for the additional costs.
Second question is, do you say COVID-19 could lead to a shift to lower margin products? Expand on this a little.
Lee Crocker again. So our higher margin products generally have been in the three categories of the quick service restaurants, which we were talking about earlier. The fresh product, which obviously has a shorter shelf life, more cost implication in terms of packaging and preparing, and that has always yielded a higher margin. And then value added, being products such as crumb products, burgers that we could process to market. Those three have all been affected with a knock-on effect from QSR into the general markets. Fresh consumption down around 25%, and value-added consumption down at the same time. The additional chicken, as we referred to, and from all the players in those environments, has then been stacked up in the IQF or the frozen market, which is leading to promotional pricing and cost and price cutting in that sector. So that's the shift that we're speaking about at the moment.
Camille from SBG Securities has got two questions. What is the risk on cancelling the dividend full year 2020, considering you are on a net cash position?
Thanks for that question. When it comes to dividends, dividend policies, and dividend payouts, it's always a robust debate in our board with everybody, different opinions and different ideas to the table. I think this time around it was a unanimous call as put forward by our chairman that on the interim we decided not to pay the dividend. We will obviously look at this at the year end, look at the situation. Have we consumed most of that cash in our endeavors to run the business? It is too early to say. We've always been a very healthy dividend payer, and I don't think anything has changed on the dividend policy. That was not under discussion, but under these uncertain conditions, I think everybody would agree that it was prudent not to pay a dividend at interim. We will have a full discussion and a view on our liquidity and the affordability of paying a dividend at the year end.
Second question is, can we expect further extraordinary costs to continue into 2020?
Yes, additional costs to manage the safety and security of our people around COVID will be with us, and I don't think that's going to go away early. I think electricity and if some businesses start up again with a load shedding, will keep on costing us money, and of course that is not going to go away easily. We're looking at plans to get a cheaper water supply into Standerton over the longer period of time, and yeah, those will impact our business. We will also, the currency will definitely play havoc with regard to anything that we import from raw materials right to genetics and some equipment that we import. So I think the second half will see a higher cost base than the first half, purely on the back of this macroeconomic factors.
Mr. Chick from Avex would just like to know, can you provide an update on the relationship with Sanlam?
Andy?
Thanks for that question. Our relationship, we're still in discussions with them about potential long-term improvement of the municipal structure. That has not taken place to date yet. If you recall, we pledged an amount of 10 million rand towards that improvement. That still needs to be refined and defined by the municipality. But we remain in discussions with them on a fairly good footing in terms of daily supply to ensure that we get the basic 2 megalitres as promised, and not to have to rely more heavily on our own resources. The municipality, under these circumstances, is even further constrained from both an electricity and a water point of view. And you may have seen that they've been placed under administration, which is where we've given a bit more clarity to the discussions. But as we speak now, we still remain concerned about the, both the water infrastructure and the electrical infrastructure in Standerton at present.
So Anthony Clark, Anthony, I think your first question has been answered in terms of the volume and mixed movements in COVID between fresh QSR and IKF. I'll ask the second question. I'm told KFC has now opened about 150 branches for delivery, but 15% of its branches more are starting to open. You have a small QSR business. Can you make a comment on your QSR segment?
Okay, so Andy speaking again. Yes, correct. I think the numbers are correct in terms of Kentucky KFC opening up deliveries now. There seems to be some increase in that as we speak. In terms of our general involvement, we have a wide spread. We do approximately 7%, as you would have seen in our distribution of sales graphs, to the QSR market. We cover a number of different companies in that. So a nice wide spread in terms of that. All of them affected by the lockdown initially, but a varying approach to the delivery take on as has come up. Some of the players in the QSR market are well geared to delivery, whereas some of the others are more restaurant-based and less systems in place to be able to do that. There's still early days in terms of what we've seen in the market, but obviously the initial drawdown on takeaways was quite strong.
The last question from Nuran from Mustang. I see that some shareholders are buying shares. Management is also buying shares. Is there an opportunity for Astral itself to do a buyback? Is the limited buyback at least given dividend has been postponed? Can I also please complain to the chairman of the board that there are not enough jokes and one-liners during this virtual presentation?
Let me tell you the story about the Boer, the Englishman, and the Scotsman. I think on the buyback, I think we're in a period of time to conserve cash, and that's what our focus will be over the next 6 months. There's three things that you consider. You always look at the rate of dividends. You look at your capital expenditure plan. And then, of course, share buybacks is always on the radar. You will see in our resolutions that this has been approved by shareholders that we can look at it. I think as we sit here today, it would not be a wise call at this moment, but that could change overnight. And then you will have to embark on a program, and it's not a once-off. We always also would like to always look at our long-term value investors first in the form of a dividend. And when that discussions come up at the two board meetings, interim and full year, it is on the agenda, and there's full-blown on discussions on the options of what to do with the funds generated during that period. Currently, not under consideration. I believe that that is the end of the question. Sorry about the jokes. It's very difficult to tell a joke over a telephone. I will try again at some other time. I just want to, in conclusion, state that Astral remains committed to its stated strategy, and under the challenges of this lockdown, we will endeavor to play the expected role of an essential food supplier to the nation. And again, we want, as an Astral board, applaud the commitment of all our staff to their frontline responsibilities during these trying times. And we also want to thank all our suppliers and service providers here during this difficult time. At this point in time, I just want to thank you on behalf of the management team and the board for taking interest in Astral Foods. We thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this event, and you may now disconnect your lines.